I know it's probably sacrilegious, but every time that I hear that song, I always want to go, no elves, no elves, no elves, no elves. There were no elves in Bethlehem. I don't know why, but that's just what I want to do. Just thought I would share today. Hey, everybody, hope you're doing well. Hope everybody is feeling good. I just want to know what happened to the 650 that were all sitting down front last week. That's what I want to know. I mean, everybody was packed in here down front for our nativity last week. And look, I told you a couple weeks ago that normally you got to get here early to get a back seat, but last week you had to get here early to get here up front. And it is just so great during this time of year, all the different family and friends that are able to come in and that are able to share in all the different things that go on here around our campus with our church family, and then be able to do things with your own families. And if that is what has brought you in today, thanks so much for coming to be a part. We welcome you here to East Brainerd. We hope you have a great Christmas. And if you are looking forward to a Christmas lunch, don't worry. We're not going to keep you too long today, and you'll be able to go and enjoy that. Hope you're able to get some donuts and some hot chocolate. Mrs. Claus was here this morning. We have Buddy who was here. Other elves were here to help, and that was just great to be able to see and to do. Again, just a great time. It is, as we have talked, the most wonderful time of the year. It really is, and that means that most of you are exhausted. How many of you are you are worn out. Go ahead, put your hand up. Let us know who's going to fall asleep during the message today. I just want to see. Good. You're exhausted. You've been working and shopping, and you've been planning, and you've been wrapping, and you've been shopping, and you've been planning, and you've been wrapping, and soon you're going to add some cooking and some cleaning to your to-do list. By the way, parents, don't forget that you guys went to Christmas parties and Christmas plays and all the different things that have been going on at the schools, right? And you add in some ball games and some ball practices, and all of a sudden what is normally a very already hectic schedule, it's just been overdrive for you this month. And now, as I mentioned, many of you have family gatherings that you're getting ready to go to when we say amen here. And don't forget all the church gatherings and all the things that have been taking place. Our yaks gathered, each week to celebrate Advent. Our senior adults attended an event at Lee University. EBY had a big Christmas party. And EBK prepared and presented, I said last week, the nativity play. And they did an outstanding job. Man, it was awesome. And if you weren't here, you can still go to heaven. But I don't know. It's going to be, you're not going to be as excited, maybe. It was just so good to have these kids who were up here and being able to share that story. And then, there were people that went caroling last Wednesday night. Some of you met here and went out caroling. And so, look, there has just been all kinds of busyness going on. And it's not even Christmas yet, right? I mean, it's not even Christmas. So here's what I want you to do, just for a minute. If you would, share with the people who are around you. It could just be your family members that are there. But I just want you, for you to share with them what you still have to do this week. What are your Christmas plans? If you still have to go shopping, or if you've got different events, turn around and tell somebody behind you. Let people know, here is what I still have to do this week. You see how busy we are? You see all the things that we've got going on, right? And look, we know that there's a lot of things that you still have scheduled this week. And that's why we appreciate very much you taking the time to come and to be with us in the midst of everything that's going on. We appreciate those who are watching online, who are traveling and are out of town, but you're tuning in to be a part. We thank you for that. And hopefully, just for a few minutes, hopefully what we want to be able to do here this morning is provide you for just a moment to exhale, to relax, to put aside all the different plans that you have, all the things you still have to do, the presents that you still have to buy, and then just be present. Just be present here in the moment. Will you join me in a prayer? Father, it's a prayer of thanksgiving to you. A prayer where we rejoice in all the things that are good. We rejoice in all the ways that we see you, especially over these last few weeks. We have heard you in songs. We have seen you in the faces of children. We've been reminded of your goodness as we've received and as we've given a gift. We've enjoyed the bounty of your grace as we have gathered around a table and shared in such good food. We've been reminded of your love as we have spent time with family and friends. And we have been focused in worship as we've been able to meet with your people and to encourage one another and to lift each other up. And so, Father, we just say thank you today. Thank you for each and every moment, even in the midst of this very fast-paced and busy time. Thank you for each moment that has pointed to you, and it is then just our prayer today that we might be able to see you more, that we might be able to recognize you in those stolen moments, the times when we're rushing around, the times when we are feeling stressed, that we still might be able to see you, to feel your presence, and to be reminded that we are yours. What a blessing it is to be able to be here today with friends and family, with strangers, to be able to share bread and cup, to be able to sing together, to be able just to breathe and to exhale with one another, to open up your word, allow it to speak to us. Father, may we be changed tomorrow. May we be different this week because we have spent time together today in your presence. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Guys, so many things grab our attention at Christmas. The decorating. By the way, about a month ago now, we put up a poll saying, hey, do you decorate before or after Thanksgiving? And then I was told, Chris, you never told people what the results of the poll was. Whoops, my bad. 52% of you do it right. You decorated after Thanksgiving, and we appreciate you being here. We're glad. For those of you that decorated and had everything ready before Thanksgiving, we appreciate you being here and still waiting for you to repent. But we are glad to have you a part of our church family. But you've got the decorating, and that takes all of our attention, and there's the party planning, there's the gift buying, there's the food making, the food eating, the family fussing, hopefully not the family cussing, the children going, the kids waiting, and then Christmas comes, and then Christmas is over. All the prep and all the stress and all the wrapping and all of the traveling, and then it's done. Christmas Day is maybe the fastest 24 hours on your calendar, right? I mean, it gets here and then it is gone. And then once it's passed, we're just left to pick up the wrapping paper and pay the bills. We eat the leftovers and then we're supposed to get on with our lives. Now, I don't know if I'm the only one, but I really wish that Christmas was longer than just one day. Now, I know some of you are like, oh, I can't take the day. But I wish that it was longer. I wish it was more than just one day because all the prep seems to demand more than just one day of celebration. I mean, think about it. Even the biblical events that sparked our Christmas holiday took place over multiple days. Now, I know we like to pack it into a 45-minute nativity, and we put everything in there, but it took Mary and Joseph days to travel to Bethlehem. And by the time Jesus was born, they had already actually found a home in which to stay. They would then remain in Bethlehem probably for 12 to 18 months before they ever welcomed in their visitors from the east. And then finally and ultimately fleeing to Egypt. What we pack into one nativity took place actually over approximately a 2-year time period. So no wonder it feels like that we just need a little more time at Christmas. And so I was thinking, well, what are people like me who feel like that this is the most wonderful time of the year and we want to have more of it? Well, what are we supposed to do? Well, I decided to follow Mary's example. You see, I think she, even in the midst of all that was going on, knew that the moment was fleeting and needed to be cherished. So while detailing the events surrounding Jesus' birth, Luke tells us that Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. She treasured and she pondered. She kept the events close to her heart and she thought about them often. It wasn't just a 24-hour experience for her. And the Greek words that are used in this verse to express Mary's mindset imply protection and remembrance and a preserving and observing. Mary recognized the significance of the events that she was a part of, and she made a conscious effort to remember what was said and remember the things that were being done. And often she would then think about these moments in hopes of better understanding what it was that God was doing right then and there in her life. Now, I don't know how Mary did it, the treasuring and the pondering. I mean, she didn't have a camera phone. She didn't have social media. I mean, that's how we treasure and ponder these days, right? It's how we document and remember. You know, in a couple of nights, our family will engage in our Christmas Eve tradition of gifting each other with new pajamas and then going and taking a picture in front of the tree in those said pajamas. Now, I've got a few of those pics that you're going to see through the years that are going to be popping up. And let me tell you, that picture, I know some of you were like, "Aw, hey, we had to work for that shot," let me tell you. Those pictures don't happen by accident. Furniture gets rearranged. The camera or phone gets balanced on a set of books that are then balanced on a table that is then balanced on the edge of a sofa. The timer gets set. Everyone has to get into their position, and then I have to race into the frame, taking my position just before the camera flash. And about the 15th time we do it, we get a picture worthy to share with you on social media. Yeah, that's how it goes. And over the years, besides Emily never changing in any of the pictures, I promise she has aged a lot through the years. But over the years, there has been some weeping and gnashing of teeth when after the 14th try, we just don't have the perfect Christmas photo. And I would love to tell you that it was Miss Tanya's fault, or that it was the kids, or that it was our dog Tiger, but normally it was mine. Normally it was mine. I would knock the camera over, or I would not get into my place in time, or I would get into my place, and then I would have a leg or side cramp. You know how those grab you when all of a sudden you have to drop down real quick or pose, and then right as the flash is going off, I'm going, cramp, and I'm rolling in the floor. Yeah, that happens. So it's normally my fault, but it's a great adventure. And the experience has actually provided one of my favorite pictures. You see, one year, as I was hurrying to get in place, I tripped over my flip-flops, actually broke one of them, regained my balance, and I stumbled into the frame just in time for the moment to be captured forever. And there you have it. Now, Tanya and the kids, they didn't realize that everything was going to be blurry like that. They just saw me looking like I was getting out of a clown car trying to be able to get into the photograph. And we only then saw it afterwards, you know, when you have to everybody, all right, let me get up and let me walk and pick up the camera and let me look and wait a minute. Oh, there we are. And there I am. But you look at that picture. And you've got family. You've got tradition. There's laughter, joy, an epic dad fail, all in one shot. And it's why this picture stays up at our house year-round. I keep it on a table there in our kitchen where I will go and put my keys and leave little things there, you know, throughout the night. But there it is on that table. And I keep it there so that I can remember what God is doing in my life. It's a way of treasuring and pondering. It's a way of holding on to what God is doing. So what about you guys? How do you hold on to Christmas? What is it that helps you ponder what it is that God is doing in your life? Maybe it's a photo like ours. Maybe it's a trip that you take. Maybe it's a casserole that you bake. How do you keep all of the things that are special about this time of year, the family and the friends, the laughter, even the tears? How do you keep Jesus and church? How do you keep these things in your heart and think about them often? I know you've got a special ornament on the tree, but do you have something that sits on your dresser? Is there a special song that you sing year-round? You see, whatever it is, I think each of us needs to find a way to treasure and ponder what God does in our life. We need to have a way of letting Christmas always stay with us. Because I don't think Christmas was ever intended to be just a one day or a once a year event. All the things that we love about Christmas are to be celebrated and enjoyed year round. The traditions that anchor us, the generosity that defines the holiday, the joy that's on the children's faces, the love of the family that surrounds us, the Savior who is with us, the prayer of peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. See, I think Mary reminds us that it's important to treasure and ponder the people and events that make up the fleeting moments in our life. Christmas doesn't have to quickly come and go. Any time can be the most wonderful time of the year. So here's what I want us to do. Here's what I like. You've seen those games where you come up with your elf name, right? You've seen those where you you have to, you know, take the first letter of your name, and then you find. I think we've got. I pulled one of those off the internet. Let's see. Yeah, you got this. Like, what's your elf name? Like, I look. First letter of my name is C. Happy. The month I was born, December. I'm the Happy Nutcracker. All right, there we go. That's my elf name. There you are. Well, you've seen these before, right? Well, I want you to come up with a date that will remind you to treasure and ponder what God is doing in your life. So here's what I want you to do. On this next screen, you're going to find the first letter of your first name. All right, first letter of your first name. Go ahead, Christian, go to that next one. First letter, first name. There's going to be a number that's going to be beside it. All right? So find the first letter of your first name. Find that corresponding number. Hold to it. Don't forget it. Some of you might have to write it down, but we're going to do this quick. Find it. Let me see. What's mine? All right. 3. Got it. Here we go. Now, the next slide, what you're going to see next, find the first letter of your last name, and there's going to be a month beside it. Okay? Find the first letter of your last name. So now you've got a number, and now you've got a month, right? So I've got 3, and I've got February. So February the 3rd. Now, here's what you're going to do. Take out your calendar app on your phone. Pull it out. Some of you I know still write things down on actual paper calendar. We'll wait for you to do that. Go ahead. Grab that puppy out. And now you're going to take that calendar app, and you're going to find that month and that day that just corresponded with your name, and there you're going to put treasure and ponder. You're going to put in there as an event, all-day event, treasure and ponder. Treasure and ponder. And then here's what's going to happen. Sometime within the next 6 months, you're going to look at your calendar and you're going to see a reminder to focus your thoughts on what makes this the most wonderful time of the year. And then you're going to go and you're going to give a gift to someone, or you're going to go and share a meal. You're going to visit a friend. You're going to worship the Lord. You're going to engage in something that maybe is normally just associated with the traditional Christmas time, but you're going to do it. For me, it's going to be February the 3rd. For you, I don't know what that day is going to be, but it's going to pop up on your calendar, and you're going to treasure and you're going to ponder what it is that God has been doing and is still doing in your life. And you're going to give Him praise, and you're going to give Him thanks, and you're going to focus in on all those things that make right now here at Christmas special. On what make it the most wonderful time of the year. Now, if you were here last week, you know that I got kicked off the stage by members of our children's ministry. And I have to say that they enjoyed it just a little bit too much. They did. They were real excited about kicking Mr. Chris off the stage. So this week, look, I'm a magnanimous kind of guy. They did such a great job. I want to invite our children to the stage because every time this year, every time around this, or every year around this time, I'll get it straight, I like to have an opportunity to treasure and ponder with our kids. So any of our EBK kids that are here this weekend, you're not gone and you're not traveling with family and stuff, if you are here, any of our little ones, I want you to come up here and sit on these stairs that are right here. So come on up here, kiddos. We're going to share some time together. Today was Christmas pajama day, as you're going to notice for some of them. That is awesome. That's right. You guys just sit all on the stairs right here. Just find a seat on the steps. Come on down. I know Ryder's worried. Ryder was the one that verbally removed me from the stage last week. I see that grin you've got. Ryder, you just want to go back and sit with your family right now? You know? No. You're going to have to stay. Right here. On the steps. That's going to be awesome. All right. Now, let me squinch. You guys move this way. Awesome. And let me have a seat here if I don't get a cramp. Let's see. All right. Now, all right, guys. So I want to see if you guys can finish this Bible verse with me, all right? For God so loved. Oh, that's pretty good. All right. For God so loved the world that He gave, all right, His one and only, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. One more time. For God so loved the world that He gave. Here's the cool thing about Christmas. Christmas has always been a reminder that God is about giving. And that when we think about God, when we think about God's love, we have to think about the fact that God gives. And so that's why we do the nativity. That's why we have you guys participate in it just like we did last week. And that's why we have all these decorations up. And that's why we're able to share and all the fun and all the things that are Christmas and give the gifts, because it's a reminder of how God gives. Because every time you get a gift, or every time that you guys give a gift, no matter how big, no matter how small, it's a reminder that God gave Jesus to us. And so what I want us to do, if you guys wouldn't mind just sitting here with me for a few more minutes, I just want to read to you from the Bible. I want to read to you the story that you shared, some of you, with our church family last week. And you guys, again, did a great job. But I just want to read it here out of Luke chapter 2, because there might be some people who are here today and they weren't here last week, and they didn't get to see what it was that you did or hear the message, the story that you gave. And so I want them to be able to hear this as well, but I want you to be able to listen here with me, okay? So this comes from your Bible in the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's right there in the beginning of your New Testament. It's in Luke chapter 2. And it says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. Now, you guys know what a census is? Do you know that? You know what it is? What is it? That's what everybody... Have you ever noticed that, moms and dads? You say, hey, do you guys know? And they're like, oh, yeah, I know. Do you know what a census is? It's a count. They were going to count everybody. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to count. Ready? Start over here. Start with one. Go. Oh, I forgot. 12.
14.
You're 17. Okay. All right. Oh, you're 3? Okay. You are? Thank you for correcting me. Thank you. You're 3. Oh, that's sweet. All right. So you're going. So now you're 18. All right. Keep going. Awesome. So we just did a census. Okay, so Mary and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem because they were going to be counted. They were trying to figure out how many people are going to be living in this area. And so they had to go and they had to be counted. And there was just a little bit more probably than 24, but not too many. Bethlehem was a small place, but you went there if that's where your family was from. And so the city got even bigger. It says, all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this count. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him where?
In a manger.
In a manger. And do you remember what is a manger really? You know what a manger is?
A feeding trough.
A feeding trough. That's right. Do you know that? It was a feeding trough. It's where animals ate. It wasn't a little bed. It was actually a feeding trough. That's where she laid her son. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a..." There it is again. Where was he lying? In a manger. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Well, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go see this thing that happened that the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried to the village and they found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the... There it is, manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all of these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. And it was just as the angel had told them. Christmas is all about giving because it's a reminder of the fact that God gave Jesus to us. And it's the story that we like to tell, not just here when we do our nativity, but any time that we're able to talk about the goodness of God. And here's the thing I want you to remember, boys and girls. Every time that you give a gift, you are telling the Christmas story. Every time that you give someone a gift, every time you give them, it could just be you share something with them at lunch, but it's a gift. It could be that you help them with their homework, but it's a gift that you're giving to them. It could be that it's their birthday and you wrap up something and you take it to them and it's a gift that you're giving them. Every time you give a gift, you're telling the story of Jesus. And so here's what I want you guys to do today. I have a bucket of candy canes, right? I have a bucket of candy canes. And I see the smile that you've got. But I'm going to tell you something that you're not going to like. These aren't for you. Oh, I know, Cooper, you're like, you got to be kidding me, man, right? I know, they're not. They're not. I want you guys to go, and I want you to be like God. I want you to go and give a gift. And I want you to take, to share a candy cane. I want you to take a candy cane, and I want you to go find somebody, anybody that's out here in this audience, and I want you just to give it to them. That's your gift to them. That's you being like God, all right? So here we go. I want you to take a candy cane. Everybody take one. You take a candy cane. Get one. Awesome. And remember, don't open it. Don't break it. You're going to take it and you're going to, what? You're going to give it to somebody. All right, once you have your candy cane, go off and find somebody. It can be anybody. Find somebody you don't know. Find somebody that looks like they've got a lot of money. Find somebody that you would like to have lunch with one day. I don't know. All right, go. Go find somebody. Whoops. Go find somebody. Give it away as you're going back to your seat. Dear everyone. All right. Now go find somebody. Surprise someone, just like Mary was surprised, just like Joseph was surprised. Find someone like the shepherds who had no idea what was going to be happening. Someone like the wise men who didn't realize that that star that was rising was going to take them all the way to Bethlehem. And don't worry, kiddos. When you guys leave here just in a few minutes, there's going to be plenty of candy canes in the back also. Moms and dads, did you notice how that the statement about Mary pondering all those things in her heart was in the reading that I just had with the kids? Did you hear it? It was right there near the end, and so it was easy perhaps to overlook, and it came at a really strange time. Luke was telling everybody about, look, here were the shepherds, and they were telling a story, and people were astonished, and everybody was amazed, and then all of a sudden he says, oh, and Mary was treasuring these things and pondering them up in their heart. And it really comes at a weird time. I don't know if you've ever thought, well, why is that there? That's really strange. He's talking about shepherds, and then all of a sudden he says, this is what Mary was thinking, and then he pivots back to the shepherds, saying that they went away glorifying and praising God. Why is it? Well, we know at the very beginning of Luke's gospel, he says that he researched all the things that he was going to be writing about. And I don't know, maybe as he was writing there about the things that were happening, maybe as he was writing down about the shepherds and their amazement, he was writing about the people who heard and their astonishment, maybe Mary came and just was looking over his shoulder and said, hey, be sure to tell them what I did. Maybe, I don't know. Or maybe it's a little more technical than emotional. Now, don't lose me here. But I think the answer might be found in the grammatical tenses that Luke uses. You see, when Luke writes that all who heard the shepherds were astonished, he uses a verb tense that means that there was an action that occurred at a singular point in time. All right? The people were astonished. When they heard the shepherd's words, they were astonished at that singular point in time. But when he interjects into the story that Mary treasured these things and that she kept them close to her heart and that she thought about these things, he uses a tense that conveys continued action. So the people heard the Christmas story. The people heard the story about what God had done there in Bethlehem. And they were amazed in the moment. But they didn't necessarily see the big picture. Does that sound like a lot of people at Christmas time? But Luke says Mary never stopped thinking about what God was doing. And I wonder which type of person we are. I wonder where in that story we fit. Because at Christmas, guys, it is so easy to become lost and caught up in the wonder and the excitement of the holiday. It is the most wonderful time of the year. We plan and we party and we wrap and we worship, we meet and we greet. But if we're not careful, everything that makes the holiday special ends up getting boxed up along with a tree and put up in the attic or out into the garage. So how about we just do something different this next year? How about we follow Mary's example? We follow Mary's example and cherish each and every moment and never stop thinking about what God is doing. There's going to come a day in the next 6 months where all of a sudden on your calendar, it's going to pop up and you're going to be reminded to treasure and ponder. I hope you don't have to wait until that day pops up. I hope you don't have to wait. I hope you're going to be able to take all of the joy and all of the generosity, all of the peace, all of the love, everything that is encapsulated here in the Christmas season. I hope you're able to take this and continue it on into the new year so that you're celebrating all year long. You see, it doesn't have to just be one day that's the most wonderful time of the year. Every day in the life of a child of God is the most wonderful time. And so how don't we live like it? And let's give. Let's give like God. And every time that we give a gift, be reminded of the Christmas story. And let's welcome people around our table, not just at Christmas, and into our home and then into our lives. And let's be individuals who are generous and who are giving, not just right now. And let's be people who are filled with peace. And let's be a people who are resonating joy. And let's be a people who constantly have the name of Jesus on our lips and the praise of God in our hearts. Friends, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And I hope that for you, it's a very special time. Not just today, but every day. Because of what took place in Bethlehem, we never have to be without God. And because of that, there is always joy and celebration. Father, we say thank you for the moment here today to be able to remember and to give praise to you for the gift of your Son. May the reminders that we have experienced over these last few weeks stay with us so that as we go into the new year, Father, that we might be a people of celebration, that we might be a people of joy. We might be a giving people, that we might be a loving people, a welcoming people, that we might be a praising people, that the most wonderful time of the year is something that we carry every day of the year because you are with us. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for sending him to this world. We are grateful for the life that he lived, for the teachings that he gave, for his sacrifice, and for his resurrection. And Father, we are grateful for the fact that he is coming again. Until that time, may we celebrate with all creation and the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Friends, as we sing and encourage one another this morning, we want you to know that If you just like some private time in prayer, that opportunity is available for you in our lobby. We have a prayer room, and you can go and be with one of our elders and have a time where you can just talk about the events that are going on in your life and read scripture together, talk about some things that are very important to you, even perhaps about becoming a child of God. Maybe you'd like to be baptized into Christ this morning. I know that Madeline Maddox, just a week ago, that happened, and so that was exciting. And I know, I think Madeline is traveling, but man, let's give a round of applause for her because that is awesome. Maybe you'd like to do that this morning. Maybe you just need to stand here and in the moment just offer your praise to God and say, thank you, God. I pledge to celebrate you all year long. Whatever your need might be, we encourage you to let it be known as together we stand and give God praise.